Okay.
Pop, pop, pop.
What's up? Back on. So, yeah, we just got done recording one of our previous released episodes. Don't know when this one will come out. Probably in a month's time, actually.
Something like that, yeah. Yes.
But we're in the middle of March.
March Madness.
Yeah, we have March Madness going on. We have the spring seasonals just around the corner. But I don't want to talk about that. It's more, excuse me, we're talking about a subject that over the last 100-ish episodes that we've done, well over 100 if you include all the BPs and ADs. Now, we've talked, of course, about anime, manga, talked about video games. We've also talked about, you know, light novels, different adaptation processes, the way that anime is done with production committees and whatnot. As well as, you know, the main proliferation of anime. We talked about that literally 3 years ago to this day. I think actually, yeah, that episode came out. It was the second or third episode. No, the third episode was the big three episode. Proliferation was, which one was that one?
Five.
Episode five. Oh, yeah.
Don't ask me why I remember that. By the way, guys, Will enough. Here, I'm here, BP26. All right, let's go.
By the time this episode releases, it would have been almost exactly 3 years since we talked about that that particular discussion. That episode released April 6, 2021.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I think this will release like first, second week of April of 2024.
Yeah, so, something like that.
Yeah. So I don't want to talk about all that stuff because we've talked, I mean, as an anime and manga podcast, we will talk about that shit no matter what. What I wanted to talk to you about, though, and just have a discussion, just have a chat, right? It's not necessarily like a topic of focus. It's more just getting your thoughts and opinions of live adaptations.
Oh, here we go.
I think it's about time.
I think every time whenever we mention a BP topic, the other person goes, oh, we're going to talk about this? All right, here we go. You know that kind of thing? Yeah.
Well, and there also the reason why this came up is because, well, two things. One, we've seen the massive success of the live adaptation of One Piece.
Are you going to mention Avatar?
Avatar was also part of it, too.
Are you going to mention Yu Yu Hakusho?
That it's also going to be part of it, too.
Okay.
But the other reason why I wanted to talk about this was because not just like, you know, only a few minutes ago we finished talking about the Gotta Watch 'Em All episode, right? Episode 9, part 9 of Gotta Watch 'Em All, which is episode 81. And one of the series that we talk about is Sword Art Online.
Yep.
And I only just found out that back in 2018,
mm-hmm.
Netflix acquired the rights to the live adaptation of Sword Art Online.
Okay.
Now, it doesn't say anything about it being greenlit or being in pre-production.
Because technically, even things like video games, right? Like Mass Effect has been licensed for a show.
Yep.
Or movie that by Legendary Pictures, and it took for... I mean, we haven't heard anything from there. It might be like dead in the water. We didn't even get the Halo series that's bombed really badly until way later.
Mm-hmm.
The Last of Us. I mean, I know I'm talking about video games, right? But it's kind of parallel in many ways, not only with interests aligned, but also just with general reception of these kinds of adaptations, right? Yeah. Resident Evil, right?
So I'm looking at, I'm looking at what's on Netflix, like the website for it, right? Which basically it's like what's currently on air, what's to come, what's about to come off and all that. So this is, of course, going to vary in terms of like location because every location has different access to different sources, a different material and all that. But generally, from what I can see right now...
Hong Kong, right?
Yeah. But it's not necessarily Hong Kong. I think this is U.S. But more often than not, like these will be on your Netflix lists, which you can access. Some of them are going to be straight anime or straight anime adaptations, like anime to live adaptation.
Okay.
But there's also going to be some that are like manga to live adaptation.
Got it.
So, for example, like Alice Borderland. That one is manga to anime to live.
Very successful.
Bleach, which was removed actually last year.
Uh-huh.
Right? Cowboy Bebop. Death Note.
Yeah, we got that.
Kimi to Kimi ni Todoke, so From Me to You.
Yeah.
Which I had to watch.
I mean, there's a lot of like romance shoujo stuff that got a live action adaptation.
Which we will get into as well, right? I see. Full Metal Alchemist, that one, as well as
AOT.
Revenge of Scar. AOT live action's on Netflix as well?
No. I'm just saying like...
But that one's got a license. That one has... the license has been acquired to do a live action. There is.
Okay.
There's also Kakegurui, One Piece, which is on there right now.
Wait, Kakegurui?
Yes.
I mean, it has like two seasons, right?
There is a live adaptation for it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Rurouni Kenshin, along with Rurouni Kenshin, the final. And then because of the same time release of Zom 100, the live mm-hmm. and the anime adaptation. So that's what's currently or was on the slate of live action adaptations on Netflix.
But how many of them are licensed by Netflix, right?
Because that one I'm not too sure. I mean, One Piece for sure, right?
Alice in Borderlands for sure.
Yes.
Cowboy Bebop for sure.
I don't know about Zom 100.
I don't think so. I don't know either. But I do know that the anime is licensed by... Is it licensed by Netflix? It definitely was on Netflix.
Netflix would have had some hand. Because that's the thing, right? Like
production committees, right?
But also, like, that's what Netflix is. Like, right. You're never going to see Crunchyroll release a live adaptation because that's just not their modus operandi.
Yeah. Right? Yu Yu Hakusho should be a Netflix exclusive, I think, as well.
Yeah, I believe so.
Avatar, The Last Airbender is a Netflix thing. One of the Death Notes, the most recent one, I think, was a Netflix thing.
Yes, that one. Yeah, the Western.
Yeah.
Adaptation.
I mean, I think there were several. There
was, originally was a live adaptation, but back in like the 2005,
made by the Battle Royale, like start the Battle Royale guy. I think.
So there's also other series that are getting like, I mean, there are a lot of series that have the rights of a live adaptation, like mm-hmm. that have been bought by various companies. A lot of them by Netflix. Like,
yeah.
I mean, we talked about Sword Art Online with Netflix, right?
Exactly.
I still struggle to figure out who live action adaptations are for, other than the fan base themselves. Like, very clearly, like, One Piece has such a massive fan base that no matter whether or not you as an individual like it or not, there's probably another 1,000 people out there that would care to watch the One Piece live adaptation.
And even though Will and I haven't watched it, it has received like a lot of fanfare, positive fanfare, right? That they are now doubling, tripling down on One Piece.
And then you think about, and then of course, you know, you mentioned Avatar Last Airbender, right? Which, if we really want to be nitpicky about the definition of anime,
yeah, but still, right?
It got greenlit for seasons 2 and 3.
Yep.
Right?
Double, triple down.
And we know how big Avatar is as a The Last Airbender, as a medium.
I think of all the shows that you mentioned, right? I think the only one that really piqued my interest are the shoujo one, like For Me to You.
Yeah.
But the number one, which I really should get around to it, is Alice in Borderlands.
It's so good.
And it's I don't know if season two, it was season two just as good as season one, or what, did it fell off a bit?
Oh, it was the same. It was the same.
Okay.
I thought that the ending was wacky as fuck, but it was also like I very much enjoyed it. But I have to be very clear that the live adaptation is nothing like the manga. There are definitely very big differences because they can't. It's too long running a manga to fully adapt into a live action series. I don't think that Netflix would want to do that in the first place. Netflix is not known to do long running series.
So I think, right, when we talk about the audience for live action adaptation series, whether it is from anime or whether it is from a manga or whether it is from, you know, some sort of that variation, in my opinion, it's not actually for the fan base. It is for people who doesn't want to watch anime but wants to watch anime. That's my kind of opinion. Just like how there are people who won't listen to the original language of any foreign films, live action or animated, and would prefer an English dub even though it's imperfect or, so to speak, not original, right?
Well, there's also, like, for example, like Slice of Life, as you mentioned, right? Yeah,
those are easy.
Right, like For Me to You.
I think My Happy Marriage is also having a live action, right?
Right. There's also a live adaptation of Nana.
Yeah, right. All that.
There was a live adaptation of Whisper of the Heart. Honey and Clover has one.
Right.
Right?
Like, to me, that kind of transfer, right, from live action or...
Boys Over Flowers has one. Not only a Japanese one, but also a Korean and I believe a Taiwanese one, too.
And to make it even more than that, there's, I think, certain live action adaptations that came before the anime was announced. Mm-hmm. So, in theory, the live action came first before there was any inkling of an anime adaptation, right?
But the thing with, like, a lot of those is that a lot of them are very much based in reality. Or exactly. At least based in, like, a somewhat feasible human setting.
Like, yes. It didn't need, like, CGI, crazy costumes. I mean, I think they even did JoJo live action.
Yes, they did. They did. It looked wacky as fuck. Battle Royale is probably not the best example, but, like, given the fact that it's still very much, like, based in human reality.
Yes.
Right? It's not fantastical or supernatural in essence.
Yeah.
So therefore, like, that kind of shit can get adapted in a similar way. The Death Note adaptations, whilst some might not like it, I liked it. Not too far fetched.
The first one.
Yeah.
The Japanese one.
Yes. Right. I actually quite liked it. I thought it did it quite well. But I'm more talking about fantastical adaptations.
Right.
Right.
Because that's really hard to have that suspension of disbelief, right? Like, even with Death Note obviously being somewhat fantastical, right? It is still set in, like, your modern day bustling Tokyo Japanese kind of setting, or, you know, modern society nowadays, right? Whereas, how can you make AOT or, Full Metal Alchemist look enticing? Or even One Piece or any of these series that is fantastical, as you said, because you need heavy CGI or costume design, or you need to transfer it so it looks believable in, like, a real life context, right? I
mean, you remember the Martin Scorsese quote about Marvel movies?
No.
Basically, he said that Marvel movies are not movies. They're not cinematic. They are more an amusement park experience.
Oh, yeah. I think I do remember something like that.
And I feel that whilst...
It's your popcorn movie for the summer.
Whilst, of course, it's, like, controversial in that particular sense because that pisses off a lot of Marvel fans, I also don't disagree with him because it's, like, when you're comparing movies of, like, superhero natures compared to, I don't know, like, The Notebook or The Matrix or stuff like that, where it's like, yes, there's a lot of heavy CGI in The Matrix, but it's like the superhero element of it is not, like, the pure focus. It's like the core. It's much like there's a lot of cyberpunk shit that happens in Ghost in the Shell, but it's not the pure focus. It's like the human nature,
the human condition
that's
with
more
Scarlett
the focus.
Johansson's Ghost in the Shell. It doesn't look believable to me to a certain extent. I mean, I think certain shots look really gorgeous. I think there was, like, shots of, like, those kimono-wearing dolls, and then they did they open up, you know, that kind of image. But if I go general vibe, it sounds really dumb that I'm saying, like, a general vibe check, but it doesn't pass that test. The AOT thing doesn't pass that test. The Full Metal Alchemist doesn't pass that test. Maybe the One Piece one does, or at least it clearly has reached the minds of so many
people.
For
me, it's like when I was watching the trailer in some episodes of One Piece, like seeing characters like, you remember Buggy? He's the clown where, like, his arms and legs can, like...
I didn't get that far, but I do know who you're talking about.
Yeah, so, like, you definitely would have gone that far if you read or watched it, because it was, like, the first couple chapters. He's like, the first villain, per se, where, like, he has a dragon fruit where his body can split apart, and, like, he would have his arms holding swords, so he can control them and start slashing people.
I mean, if you're talking about the very beginning of One Piece, that was so long ago.
True. But, no. Like, and then there's also Arlong, like, the fishman, right? The guy with, like, the super long nose.
Oh, that I remember.
Yeah, right?
Because didn't he have an issue with... Or connection with the girl.
Nami's mother.
Yeah.
Because he shoots her in the face right in front of her.
Oh, Jesus.
It's not a spoiler, by the way. This shit came out like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Don't be mad at me.
Yeah.
Right? But like when you see them in the live adaptation, that sense of like immersion.
Wonder. Yeah. Immersion is a good word.
Gone. Because I felt that like they did the best they could with CGI. In my opinion, it just looked awful. In my opinion, it was worse than seeing 3D CG in anime. Okay. Because at least with, like, anime and seeing 3D CG, at least you know it's animated. At least you know that this is what you expect. Whereas when you saw this, it was just like, sometimes things get a little bit too wacky.
Right. So I think when you asked me who are these live, like live action adaptations are for, let me kind of pose like a theoretical question. Would you say that the 3D CGI in Avatar, as in not Avatar Last Airbender, but the James Cameron Avatar.
I never watched any of the movies, but I've probably seen trailers. I've seen enough.
Like, if you, in other words, if you had all the money in the world and all the resources in the world to make all that CGI.
I mean, it was one of the most expensive movies ever to be produced.
But yeah. If you were to inject that into a lot of, like, these anime that turned into live action series.
And I think that's what Netflix is doing. Netflix is pumping a lot of money into this shit.
Because I don't know how the Avatar series is because I haven't watched it, but I've seen trailers of it and it does look way better than I thought it did. Like, it looks quite integrated in with the environment, so it's not like the 3D anime thing of like, that's technically in 3D, that's technically in 2D. Wow, what a jarring effect.
And also the fact that like fanfare or at least critical reception of it has been mixed.
Right, not as positive as the One Piece.
But still managed to immediately get a green light for season 2 and 3. Shows that it's not just the fandom that's pushing it. There's enough in the adaptation that people are like, okay, I think it's worth seeing more of this.
I think Avatar The Last Airbender's original creators, I think they bailed on the project.
Did they?
Yeah.
Is there any reason? Was it creative differences? Was it lack of control?
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Because there's a lot of things that could happen in those. I mean, like, that's why, like, you remember we were talking about Sword Art Online and, like, Gungil Online and all that stuff? I think Gungil Online was actually not written by Ricky Carhart, the main writer of Flight Novels. I think he's a supervisor for it. Someone else writes it, but he still has, like, some creative control over how the story is told.
So it's like the series composition in an anime versus the writer, like the showrunner versus the script writer.
Much like how like Oda does not make the One Piece live adaptation, but he very much is overseeing the whole production.
Like a fact checker, an inspector of sorts. Yeah. Avatar The Last Airbender showrunner opens up about making series without original creators by Entertainment Weekly. So yeah, both the two co-creators, Michael DiMartino and Brian Kaninsko, I'm sorry, I butchered your name. They left the project, yeah. Hmm. They left in 2020, saying that creative differences with the studio.
There you go, yeah.
It was announced in 2018. Right, so, I mean, I have static electricity. That's why every time I touch the mic, it's making sound. Okay, so if it was resources, right? If it was time constraints and that was fixed, would it convince you? Because I think there's a different discussion with convincing the general populace versus someone who is more ingrained in anime and manga. And then there is like you and I in terms of levels, right?
But I think these adaptations, and again, this is just like from my own personal observations, it's not for the general public.
It isn't. I thought it is.
It's for the diehard fans for sure, because think about all the live adaptations of anime that have come out or have got the rights bought for it. So it may come out in the future. Bleach, One Piece, Cowboy Bebop, Ghost in the Shell. There was also Sword Art Online. Naruto's rights have been bought.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think at the same time, it's like there might be an initial spike and surge in
One interest. Punch Man's rights got bought.
Yes. Well. That. Yeah. But that was a while ago, actually. Yeah.
But those are the things where it's like all those series at one point or another, or still now, are some of the most popular series of all time.
Like One Punch Man probably would make a more believable, well integrated. And by well integrated, I mean
it would basically be a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
Which I think. Fair enough.
That's the premise, right? I get that, right? But, for example, if you were to do My Hero Academia, I think that's also easier.
One also has its right spot, too.
Because it's like Harry Potter, but now we change it into a Japanese school for superheroes.
Nothing to stop Mashal getting a live adaptation either, from what you're seeing as well. I mean, dude, like you said, JoJo had a live adaptation.
Yeah. So, I mean, on one hand, like, I actually don't think it is for anime enthusiasts because it's not for anime and manga fans. I mean, it's not like I'm saying no.
And I think that One Piece like is an anomaly there because the power of One Piece supersedes anything.
Right.
Right. You can be a fan of the anime and still be intrigued by the live adaptation.
But how many people do we know even that just wouldn't watch anime because it's anime or wouldn't read manga because it's manga, but then would probably be more enticed if it was made by live action people? Okay,
I completely agree. I know more people that care about reading actual, like, just plain old text.
Yeah. That's why there's manga-only readers that don't care about the anime.
And there's also people that only read or only play light novels and visual novels because they don't feel that encapsulates the full breadth of the series through an adaptation.
And on the far other side, you get anime-only watchers, which I used to be that kind of person.
I think it's like your consumption is a lot more, not a lot more, but like definitely more balanced between anime and manga.
Yeah, and it kind of boils into how much time do I have, and it's easier to flip through mangas than anime.
Oh, I mean, like on a commute, much easier to read a manga than watch an anime.
And I do get burned out, and I think Will, both of us get burned out every once in a while because we consume so much because we need to.
It's also easier to read a chapter of manga and then put it down as opposed to have to watch a full episode because you don't want to just pause halfway and then be like, oh, I'll get back to this in like 6 hours.
Yeah, and like imagine in the middle of a Kimetsu no Yaiba action scene, and then you're just like, I have to stop fucking now?
Yeah.
Like now? Like, are you fucking kidding me? But you have to, and then it kind of ruins the moment, right? So I get that. But so I don't feel like live action is for anime, like the hardcore, I don't really like using these terms, but the really enthusiastic people will check it out because they really like the IP and want to support it.
Yeah.
And in many ways, if it has the backing of, like, you know, Oda, for example, are you not at least curious to check it out, right? You might be. Or at least you wouldn't just toss it off into the ether.
Yeah.
So that's how I feel. But here's the other take that I think a lot of people actually don't really get to experience, myself included. Did you know that a lot of series don't necessarily have something like a live action movie or series, but has something else that involves IRL stage plays?
Yes.
And I think, like, there's a Haikyuu stage play.
There's an Attack on Titan stage play.
Like, okay, the Revue Starlight stage play is something that makes the most sense because they in Revue Starlight, they are doing a play, so then there's a stage play that makes sense.
I actually think the craziest stage play ever is still the Resident Evil stage plays.
I mean, I've never heard of that, but I believe that.
It's crazy. I actually, because I got into like a bit of a rabbit hole, because like whilst Resident Evil is, I haven't played that many. I think I only played up to 3. Oh, no, played up to 4. I haven't played anything else since. But it's like the lore that goes deep within Resident Evil. And then like a lot of it is also canon in the stage play as well. Like that's what you're talking about, where it's like the diehard fans, the ones who, regardless of what medium it comes out, they care about the property, not the way it's conveyed.
But the thing is, that is the subset of a subset, right? So I completely buy that and believe in that, right? Then you get like people who love anime, manga, or whatever medium, but then they are now consuming the same IP that they know and love, but in a different medium, you know? For video games, let's think of Danganronpa, but then now you watch Danganronpa the animation, right? Or a manga to an anime, you know, vice versa, or, you know, all of these variations.
Nier Automata played a game, now you watch the anime.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I wouldn't be adverse to watching Nier Automata, the anime. I just feel like it's unnecessary for me. But
did you play the Fire Emblem games?
I mean, I did. I didn't own...
Would you care to watch a Fire Emblem anime?
No, because it's kind of different. It's really weird, right? I mean, in terms of like what you do in the game.
Because a lot of it is very much driven by character choice, right? And you don't have that choice with you anymore. But isn't like, aren't there like also those kinds of choices to be made in Danganronpa or Persona?
But it follow... In Danganronpa, it's not as branching of a storyline. There's still like a central core. Whereas it's kind of like in Fire Emblem, you might get attached and have certain like...
Relationships
that are not canon, so it's gonna be like your what's that really Kyoto Animation Kaon.
Yeah.
No, not Kaon. The one where you
Clannad?
Clannad. There it is. Sorry, I keep forgetting.
That's why Clannad, after like the main story released,
had like 3-4. Yeah. And I think Amamagi plus plus.
Amagi Brilliant Park, you mean?
No, not Amagi. There's like another romance one that is like a visual novel shoujo thing that is like...
They also release like extra episodes to show if you had gone down this path, this is what it would have looked like, right?
Yeah. Let me see.
What's it called? Because for sure, I watched all of Clannad, including the side stories of what would happen if the main character had chosen to be with this particular character instead. And they were all really sweet too. I really liked watching it. But at the same time, it's like, I can understand why people who like playing visual novels are very, very indifferent when it comes to watching the anime, because it's just not the same. It's different paths. Like, much why, like, we have a friend who has played the shit out of Fate Stay Night, but has never watched a single episode of the anime.
Also, Higurashi.
Yes, Higurashi as well, yes.
I played all of the Ace Attorney games. I'm not going to watch the anime. I mean, all like the original trilogy, right?
Yeah.
But with live action, it's a tough sell for non-believers of anime, manga, light novels, visual novels. It's a realm that they either don't want to cross, they either have preconceptive notions.
But it's also like, if you didn't care about anime and manga in the first place, then you wouldn't have cared about the One Pieces. You wouldn't have cared about the Bleaches or the Ghost in the Shells and whatnot. So what would have made you want to watch it in the first place as a live action when you don't really care about the original source?
I can think of several reasons off the bat. There might be more when I ponder it more. But the first one is to hate on it. But then it might inadvertently...
Convert you, right?
Or you might be like, oh shit, like it ain't that bad. Or like, and you have this existential crisis, right? But I think the intention of going in to hate it is a very common one because, oh, I need to watch all of it in order to be sure that I can say I hate it. So I can add more ammunition, because if you say you didn't watch all of it, I mean, it's a common thing of like, did you read all of it? Did you read all the manga? Did you watch all of the anime?
Yeah.
You didn't? Then shut the fuck up, right? Which is not or did you finish the video game? You didn't finish the video game and finish it on extra hard difficulty? Then shut the fuck up.
Did you do 100% completion? No.
Did you get all 120 stars to know that Mario 64 is a great game? No, then shut the fuck up, even though you said it's a great game. But like, to me, it's like, to me personally, at least with video games, if you don't finish a video game and there's a good reason because you don't like it, that to me is even more valuable than someone who finished it and then said that they didn't like it. At least from like a creator's standpoint, right? Because you have to know why people don't like it. So the next go around, you can then prevent that from happening in theory. But the other reason I think people watch live action is because, well, I don't want to watch it because it's drawings, but now it's like real people, so I, fine.
Yeah, maybe it's not so much the property that people care about, but maybe the story is what they want to see.
I mean, right? Do you think people gave a shit about Captain America or Iron Man without Robert Downey Jr.?
Is every person who loves and watches the Marvel movies, are they also people who have read the comics in the first place?
I'm sure there's a correlation.
That actually kind of blew my mind. I completely ignored that part.
I think there's a correlation. Like, I'm sure comic sales did increase or more followers, but you're telling me the box office of the Avengers Endgame equates to...
I mean, Iron Man wasn't even like a main character in the Marvel like universe.
I mean, it was, but it wasn't that popular as like the main guy until Robert Downey Jr.
Because for a long, 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 long time,
absolutely,
it was Spider-Man. And Spider-Man was the most popular.
Yeah, or X-Men.
And X-Men. That's why they had all Marvel. That's why they had the trilogy. X-Men 1, 2, 3. Spider-Man 1, 2, 3. That's why they had all those trilogy movies.
And the Ultimate versions. Yeah, I read a lot of comic books growing up, guys. Okay. But same thing with the DC comics, right? I would say excluding Batman and excluding like the limited series that are like Watchmen, for example, right? Like if we exclude those, technically speaking, to my knowledge, Superman, Batman, maybe Wonder Woman are like the OGs of, obviously it's not the OGs of the Justice League, but like in terms of comic book sales and reception, because Wonder Woman had that live action TV show. Batman had the Billy West. Is it Billy West?
Think so.
The last name is West.
They also have Michael Keaton as well as Batman too.
And regardless of Superman, the movies being successful or not.
I mean, I still remember Superman as Christopher Reeve.
Yeah. Like, rest what happened? Peace, yeah. I'm sorry about, I mean, it sucks. But irregardless, it was in the public zeitgeist. So then everyone latches onto it, or everyone remembers it, right? I mean, that's why also the studios double, triple down right away when they had that those numbers. Does that mean that season 2 and 3 are going to be as successful, or it tapers off, or it gets canceled, or production hell? Who knows? But at least right off the bat, you have indication that it's going to be successful. So people who watch it, whether they hate it or not, or get converted, or they just want to see what this One Piece thing is all about, because apparently in the anime sphere, no one will shut up about it, because even I, who, as this hypothetical person who doesn't give a shit about anime, knows about this and Dragon Ball and Naruto and Bleach, because everyone fucking says it all the fucking time.
Yeah. Then maybe I completely missed the point, too, where it's like, not having seen the source is definitely not a barrier to want to watch like an adaptation in the first place. Because I did not read any Iron Man comics at all growing up. I was only Spider-Man as a kid. But I still watched the shit out of all the Iron Man and Marvel movies. So, like, I guess I did the very same thing of, why would people want to watch a live adaptation of something they didn't care about in the first place when I was already doing that from 2008?
Yeah, but I think, like, in this sense, being a hypocrite is not necessarily actually being a hypocrite or being inconsistent. It's just people have different values and different kind of tendencies even over time. Like, as someone who used to read manga because there was no anime, and because I can't, stay up at 11 p.m. when I was, like, in grade school to watch Dragon Ball, I never really got into Dragon Ball. So when I went to, like, even university, and all my friends who are, like, don't watch a single fucking anime.
But only watch Dragon Ball.
But could recite, like, the Frieza arc to me if I need to.
It's the, like, Cell games.
Yeah, or, like, when they play, like, the really dumb-ass, shitty Dragon Ball Z, like, story games. I'm not talking about Dragon Ball Fighters.
Yeah, I know what you're
talking
about.
Which I love, I know what you're talking about, yeah. But, like, the old-school, like, story-based games where, like, it kind of sucks as a video game, but they play it because they get to relive it. And it's like, oh, wow, I can do all this shit. Oh, I can do a Kamehameha. Okay, that's awesome. That's when it gets to that level of saturation. It's almost like there is, it could be any reason, good or bad, to start.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be someone like us or others that, you know, are very into anime and manga to care, because we also don't have a stake per se. And it might even convert people. If they like the One Piece live action, let's say, maybe the majority of them will be like, oh, just wait for season 2 and 3, rather than watch the anime because they have that aversion.
Mm-hmm.
But not all of them would have that thought. They would be like, yeah, I mean, the live action was pretty good. Maybe I should just check out the anime. Or like, you know, oh, that Attack on Titan thing, that movie wasn't that great, but I kind of see that it could be good. Like, they kind of had that, like, thing. Well, the anime just ended. Why not just watch that?
Yeah. I think, actually, you make a good point. Where, like, it's not even, like, the diehard fans that have to be the ones that, like, these adaptations are made for. Like, I know so many friends who are fans of Resident Evil, not because of the games, but because of the movies.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Let's say I were to go to you and I say, yo, that One Piece live action is really good. That means different than when someone who doesn't watch anime come up to you and say the live action of One Piece is good. Because
they wouldn't even say live action One Piece. They'll just say One Piece. Because right. That's the one thing they watched. They wouldn't have known or
cared. But the credibility is different, yeah, right? Because especially you and I have been burned so many times, and many others, right? Such that when something is legitimately converted to live action and is good, it's like really surprising. Such that whenever you hear a live action adaptation and you hear it's bad, you're like, hey, it's always the case. But when you hear a good one, it's like almost unbelievable, because anime is so controlled. And what I mean by controlled is on the storyboard, the panel, the frame that you're watching, all of it is controlled by the animation studio, production committee, whoever cuts it or edits it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in theory, unless if they miscalculate or do a scene wrong or whatever, what you see is what they intended to put out, right? In other words, they have full control even who voices it, what color of the dress, how everything looks. But if you go into live action, you could have the worst anime adaptation into live action ever, but acknowledge someone's acting skills.
Yeah.
You could say, oh, the show was so shit. The Halo show was so shit. But man, did they design like the suit of armor really well. Is that like the showrunner's fault? Possibly. Is that the scriptwriter's fault? Maybe not. Is it the costume designer's accolades for making an awesome suit of armor for Halo? Absolutely. So it's like, but when it's an anime, it's like, yeah, the storyboarding's pretty bad, so then we know who to blame, or we know what to do, or we know where the problem's at. It's a production budget issue.
Yeah, sure. It's much easier to just point fingers and blame whoever it is, and then just surmise that if it's one person's fault, everyone's at fault too.
Yeah, and I think like when literal human beings are involved in the actual like thing that you are watching and consuming, it kind of feels different. Like, charisma doesn't show from a 2D anime character. It could show from the voice.
Yeah.
But you can see it when it's someone who acts it out in live action or even at a stage play. I consider them kind of in the same, on the same threshold at the moment, right? In the sense of when people sell you on their acting skills, you buy it. But, I mean, it's kind of like, are you splitting hairs, Jason? And I kind of am. But at this point, we are splitting hairs because we're literally talking about the same IP, but in different fashions, right? It's like when things from manga doesn't translate to anime, you and I know exactly why most of the time, or we just get a feeling. That's why you didn't buy into the 3D CG sometimes in a lot of animes.
Yeah.
Or you don't...
But then that generally wouldn't detract my appreciation or my fandom for that particular series. I mean, look, like we just finished talking about Sword Art Online. There's some terrible 3D CG in there, but I still like the series.
Or you gave it a pass and like turned a blind eye because the rest of it was dope, right? Yeah.
There were times we didn't, like for example, Witch and the Beast. But you know, let's not talk about the 3D CG and the crows.
Yeah, they all can't be bangers. They all can't implement it right. It's so different. A shot of a scene can feel and look so different depending on the camera angle, or in the anime's case, storyboarding. Even a scene of us talking, it can look really tense when you look at it from, like, you know, a downwards angle upwards or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And those are creative decisions that is irregardless of, like, people who are into anime, people who are into manga. It's like a live action shit. Of course, you can say how the storyboard looks and the perspective is, like, a camera angle. Yeah, sure. But
yeah. And I guess it's like, I think I was maybe diving a bit too deep in terms of, like, trying to figure out the purpose of a adaptation or a production, when really, for example, like with the Marvel thing you were talking about, right? Like, just because I've watched the majority of the MCU movies from phases 1 through 4, I didn't go back and start reading Secret Wars. I didn't go back and start reading Ant-Man or any of, like,
yeah,
Scarlet Witch and whatnot.
If I told people that I read and own comic books of the actual Civil War before even Iron Man came out, like, people are like, what, really? There was a comic book limited series on Civil War? I'm like, yeah, I own all 6 volumes. Yeah. Like, it was, and then it branches off into, like, there was one that follows a reporter. It's like, it's this crazy thing that can only happen in comic books where there's like 10,000 spinoffs.
Yeah. There was this clip that I watched of this, comedian in New York, where he was on stage and he's like a massive, like, Marvel, like DC, he's like a massive comic book nerd, and he came on wearing a black Spider-Man shirt, right? But when you see black Spider-Man,
you think Venom.
And then there was like a woman, she wasn't a heckler, but she was just like, why are you wearing a Spider-Man shirt? And then someone in the back says, that's not Spider-Man, that's Venom. And then the comedian snaps back and says, shut the fuck up. This is not Venom. This is Spider-Man, because it's his secret suit, his black suit that he wore in Secret Wars. If you knew anything about the Marvel comics, and everyone just started cheering. It's like, well, this fucking nerd just put this fucking heckler in his place. It's like, yeah, there's a lot of people that actually, like, on the surface, know a lot about a property simply because that's what's available. But then when you want to actually know the roots of it, it's very much up to your own volition to, like, pick your feet up, go to the comic store, or go online and actually get the source material.
Yeah. So let's go back to like the, I mean, since it's, we talked about the One Piece live action a lot, let's say 100 people go watch it, right? Yeah. With varying degrees of investment into anime, manga, light novels as a medium, like, right?
10 people have read the manga since day one. 10 people have watched the anime since day one but never read the manga. 10 people have only just started picking it like 10, 15 years after it came out, and then the rest of them are like newbies.
But let's say more than half, because I would say anime and manga still is like massive, but it's still niche when you take
I'm sure the majority of people who watched One Piece have had some experience of One Piece in one way or another. Okay. For sure, right?
All
right.
I think then let's say 40 out of 100, right? Yeah,
okay.
Okay. So the people that, as you said, are into One Piece since day one, would they stop reading the manga? No. Probably they'll read it until it ends. But he's not a new person, new fan.
No.
Then you get the people who like the anime that wanted to check out the live action. Do you think they will check out the manga? Probably not, I would argue.
Yeah, but then again, it's like, that's still the same person, right? The person who watched the anime is now watching the live action. You're not necessarily growing the viewership, but then you also have the people who are on the outside.
Exactly. And to me, it's like, okay, maybe out of 40, let's say half of them, for argument's sake, just watches a live action and that's it. Then you have 10 people that either turns into, okay, I'll check out the anime. And then you might get the other 10 to be like, I won't check out not just the anime because there's over 1,000 episodes, but I also want to get into the thick of it. I want to read the manga. And all of it is increases sales.
I mean, that's how I got started reading fucking Golden Kamuy.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I absolutely love both, right? Despite the 3D bears. But it was because of the fact that like I checked out the anime first. We're doing this thing again, right?
Yeah.
Read the anime or watch the manga, right? Mm-hmm.
Read the manga.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing. Don't you think the timing of the One Piece live action...
Yeah, yeah. Read the manga, watch the anime.
But if you... Maybe it's coincidence, but I feel it's like slightly timed that the 25th anniversary of One Piece and announcing, you know, the Wit Studio One Piece just so happens to coincide within roughly the same time frame, because you can production side, you can never really pinpoint exactly the same moment, but it's within an earshot that I can believe that is timed coincidentally, right? The Zom 100 thing is because they have it ready in the chamber, so they release at the same time, right? Yeah. But you won't know if production is going to be done and released.
Oh, so, I mean, there was also a live adaptation as well as a anime adaptation of Gotaro Lives Alone.
Right.
I think they both came out around the same time, too. Yeah, the similar situation. But
it happens hand in hand so that when you watch the One Piece live action and you are convinced that it is awesome, all of a sudden you're like, whoa, it just so happens that there is an announcement of a new anime by an animation studio, I guess. I mean, I don't know all these animation studios, but that's cool. Oh, 25th anniversary? Oh, yeah. It's all to calculate because anime... At the end of the day, despite being a medium we both love, manga as well, light novel, visual novel, but still, they all is to perpetuate the IP. The timing of it all is to, with the Cowboy Bebop stuff, it might be a bit harder to find like a business standpoint because maybe in production help, but I would argue that the One Piece thing is such good timing, such that to me, all of it is perpetuated by increasing the visibility, the optics, and therefore some of it will translate into the sales and some of it will translate into advocates of the IP.
And not to mention as well, it's not just that the form of media is the pure representation of a story. The story itself is the most important part.
Right.
Right. Regardless of it being a manga, live adaptation, light novel, anime, visual novel, video game, whatever it is, right? Even if you were to consume things differently, right? Like, there are many people, way more people, that have watched The Shining compared to read The Shining.
I'm one of them.
I read the book. I never watched the movie.
I watched the Battle Royale movie, live
never
action.
Never read the manga, right?
No, but it's based on a novel.
That's a good point, yeah.
And I read the novel afterwards, right? Like, the thing is, oh shit, I forgot the point I was trying to make, but, oh yeah, right. on top of everything that we just said, whether it is business reasons for the timing, whether it is because you're fans of anime and manga, it could also be due to an issue of legality. So let me talk, and licensing, let me talk about Spider-Man and Sony Pictures.
Good point.
For a lot of people that don't know, although I think a lot of people do know nowadays, for the longest time, Marvel does not own the movie rights to Spider-Man. They own the IP and the comic book rights, but they don't own the movie rights, because that was before Marvel really was a thing.
And Marvel sold all their shit, right?
And so because Sony, they needed money.
So Sony Pictures bought a lot of them, one of them being Spider-Man.
And 20th Century Fox bought X-Men.
Yes.
So in order for the license for Sony to continue to get Spider-Man, which technically is a bit of like a mutual thing with Marvel Studio nowadays, in order to get Spider-Man into Civil War, because they can't get into a Marvel film.
Yeah.
So then they bridged an agreement. But back then with Sam Raimi and the original Spider-Man trilogy with Seabiscuit guy.
Tobey Maguire.
Tobey Maguire, yeah. Gotta love that dance scene in Venom.
Yeah.
It's so dumb. But anyways, Marvel...
Tobey Maguire, Peter Parker is still my favorite Spider-Man.
I like all of them for different reasons, but yeah. I never
watched any of the Andrew Garfield ones, but I did hear that despite the mixed reception that they were actually pretty decent.
I do think Tom Holland is like very much like the Peter Parker.
Yes.
That, like I imagined. Okay, but Sony Pictures has to technically release a movie every 3 years of Spider-Man or they lose the license and it goes back to Marvel. That's why every once in a while you'd be like, well, why are they releasing like Morbius? Or like, why are they releasing like the Sinister Six out of fucking nowhere? It's because that IP is tied to Spider-Man. They have to release it or they lose it. And it goes back to Marvel.
Is that the reason why they made Morbius?
No. But like...
Partially.
Partially, because the law of... The rules of them having to release one every 3 years, I think. Or is it every 3 or 5? It should be every 3 years. Or else they lose the license. That's a fact. Mm-hmm. I forgot the time duration, but it is. And sometimes you just got to put out a dud because you're doing the long game.
Yeah.
So even if One Piece live action tanked, which it didn't in terms of reception, even if AOT, even if Ghost in the Shell, even if Full Metal Alchemist tanked, which it did, or the Death Note one tanked.
A reason why Full Metal Alchemist, the live action, is not on Netflix anymore.
Yeah, it's because sometimes legality and licensing, agreements that were made behind the scenes and not trying to lose the IP, because maybe you have a cash cow for the future, but you sunk so much money, so some money is better than none, and I don't give a shit about the negative reception because I'm an executive that doesn't give a shit.
There must be like a duration of legality over the rights that you bought. So, for example, like with Sword Art Online, they bought the rights 2018. It's mm-hmm. now 2024. Who knows how long they have left before that legality expires? So, unless like they decide to shelve it and never touch anything with Sword Art Online, it would not be crazy to see an SAO live action in the next few years.
Absolutely. But at the same time, it feel it kind of passed its prime because that premise is not interesting anymore, I think, for the general public. Like, you're going to need something else. But maybe that's how I feel if there's a lot of action. But let me kind of...
Then again, though, One Piece with what mm-hmm. studio, right? Like, they're redoing certain scenes.
They want to reinvigorate it too, right?
So, but they're also still covering stuff that came out from 25, 30 years ago, right? So it's not like... I wouldn't say that things can run its course and become stale. I think in the end, though, it's just the fandom that One Piece has, like as much as SAO is popular, right? I don't think it holds a light compared to the fandom that One Piece has.
Are you telling me that people are not thinking of a Kimetsu no Yaiba?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the rights have been bought for that too.
Or they're coasting so then they can get the price higher, whoever owns that right.
Yeah.
Right? So it's such a complicated issue beyond, you know, the IP or how it's made or who makes it.
Oh, yeah.
It's legality and licensing. Don't forget, and people would be like, Jason, Will, you're talking about just fucking live action. Well, I don't give a shit whether the One Piece thing or these other live action adaptations does well or not, or the Yu Yu Hakusho is good or not. Like, fine, if it's good, it's great. If it's not, it's kind of no big deal. Like, I'm just going to stay in my corner of anime, manga, light novels and stuff. I'm like, bro, let's take anime. Let's take Komi Can't Communicate, mm-hmm. where there's three different licensing windows, three different release windows. There's the one on Netflix. There is the one in Japanese Netflix. Then there is the one on broadcast worldwide. And each of these are a rolling one. So like week one, week two, week three.
Yeah.
And that is just within anime. So you're telling me that that kind of intricacy or that kind of terms and conditions are not applied to major releases that take years and millions of dollars? Way more that people are going to be like more like, oh, we should read like the actual like fine print of this licensing.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, I remember that now. Because then it was like when Komi Can't Communicate was on episode 3, I think Netflix only just got episode 1.
Yeah, that's exactly
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I remember that now.
No, it's the other way around.
Other way around?
Yeah, Netflix. Sorry. The order is Netflix Japan, Netflix Worldwide, then broadcast.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure that's the order because Netflix bought the licensing rights, so they want first dibs, which makes sense.
And because it being anime and being in Japan, they made Japan the priority first.
I think like Tokyo BX or one of the broadcasters owned the broadcasting rights, but they're like last in line.
Yeah.
And Netflix Japan obviously wants to get first dibs on that so then they can beat out the broadcast, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So all of that has to do with money and money talks, and that's how it works because if your anime or your IP don't earn money, unfortunately, shit doesn't happen for charitable reasons.
Yeah. And I suppose that's why like you have all these live adaptations coming out as well, right? It's not solely to make money. It's to make it so that your property value goes up.
Yeah, exactly. And here's the other thing. You might say like, okay, it might bomb in terms of like how much they earned.
But you have to take a risk, right?
No, but not only that. Yeah, you have to take a risk. But Will, we are two motherfuckers, Asian American dudes, or Asian Canadian as well, that are...
I'm more American than Canadian at this point, but yeah.
We're here talking about it. And then we're broadcasting this topic to a bunch of people. And that just keeps the conversation going. Whether a live action adaptation was successful or not, just the topic of it, just the fact that a lot of YouTubers and YouTubers talk about the live action of One Piece and whether they praise it to high heavens or scorn it to hell, it's in the zeitgeist. It's in people's mind. It's advertising such that the next time around when you hear the word One Piece or when people even say the word One Piece, you'll be like, oh yeah, that live action was kind of good. Or AOT, didn't that end? Attack on Titan, isn't that like one of the more popular anime series? Well, there's a movie? Didn't it kind of suck?
Yeah, bet your bottom dollar that in the next 3 years, you're going to see a live adaptation of Jujutsu Kaisen or Demon Slayer.
Yeah, I think.
Or Chainsaw Man.
And that's kind of independent of how well the adaptation does.
Spy Family. Yeah. Spy Family is set up to be a live adaptation.
Yeah. I think all of it is, especially when you talk about going back to one of the first things we mentioned, the high fantasy part. How are we doing on time?
Oh, we're good. We got another 8 minutes.
Okay. The fantastical element of it in Spy X Family is way easier to implement than, let's say, Jujutsu Kaisen.
Yeah. But Jujutsu Kaisen is also massively popular. I mean, it just won the greatest anime of all time for 2024 from the Crunchyroll Awards,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I know. The Crunchyroll Anime Awards, man... You never fail me to rile me up.
But even then, that's still like, you know, credit where credit's due, right? Like Crunchyroll recognizing it as the greatest anime, fair enough.
And technically JJK 2, it's good. It's really good. So I get that. But live action, it's like, what's it called? Like a lost leader in supermarkets?
Oh, yeah.
Like Costco having like the $1 hot dog, you think they earn money off of that?
But IKEA does not make money off of their restaurants at all. It's because of the fact that you're buying all their furniture that allows for them to give you cheap food.
Yeah. Do you think some people go in to Costco or IKEA to buy their Swedish meatballs from IKEA or their a $1 hot dog from, or I don't know how much it is.
$1.25.
Something like
or
that.
Or it's either $1.25 or $1.75.
Absurdly cheap, right?
And it's been the same for like however long.
So, yeah, there will be some people that try to game the system, so to speak, and go in, get that food, and then go back out and don't give a shit.
But that's just that one person.
But then you'll get a lot more people go in, get the food, and be like, well, while we're here, let's walk around, right? And then
I could do with a new side table. I could do with, you know, another 20 pounds of chicken nuggets.
Yeah, you know? But you know what? Like, we're short on cash or whatever, and then we leave. But then you get some people who buy the food, then peruse, then buy stuff, as you said, and then leave.
Or then, you know, and then buy a pizza on the way out, too, to take home.
Yeah. Same thing with the One Piece live action. Everyone, or a lot of people, will go and watch it. Some people will just go in and out, be like, oh, shit, or just don't give about anything live action. Then you get the majority of people who would go in and then, you know, stay. And then you get some people who go in and consume One Piece live action and be like, huh, that's pretty good. Let me check out the anime or the manga.
But I think it's also because of the fact that, like, the majority of the fans or the people that even know about One Piece in the first place is because it's been rooted within the anime and the manga. And therefore, when you talk about the live action, unless you're a super, super diehard fan, chances are you're probably going to just neglect the live action, right? But in the same vein, when Iron Man first came out in 2008, Marvel was dying, right? And it was like a Hail Mary. They had absolutely no reason for it to be popular. It's literal,
like, Final Fantasy type scenario.
And it fucking worked. Much in the same way with One Piece, despite me being like, I don't really know who it's for. Well, turns out it doesn't matter who it's for because it's still super popular.
Spoilers for Iron Man 1, but if you haven't seen it, then go, you know, go watch it. The stinger is Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury being like it's like, what, a minute of like, yeah, I need to assemble a team. And that was it. And no one knew about post-credit scenes. No one knew about the assembling an Avengers or like phase 1, 2, 3, 4. No one knew about any of that.
Yeah.
I was just like, okay, I know who that character is. I kind of know the implications because I read comic books. But I'm like,
Nick Fury, motherfucker.
But it's kind of like, okay, it's just a post-credit scene, whatever. But now it's like...
But then granted as well, as much as it was super popular and it did really, really well, the things that came out afterwards, which were the Incredible Hulk, right? With
Edward Norton. Yeah. I kind of liked it.
I liked it, but like...
It's kind of
And then there was Thor, which was also... right?
It was mid, but fine. And then
Captain America First Avenger came out, which was... I actually quite liked that one.
Yeah, I like that one, too. I still think
Winter Soldier is my favorite Captain America movie, but those four came out, and Iron Man being the one, right? Robert Downey Jr. super good. The next three were like middling to okay success, and then they hit it with the double whammy of, well, you've seen everybody now, let's get everyone together and make the fucking Avengers. Do you think that we might be at a point with live adaptation that once we start building and piquing more curiosity, more fandom of the live adaptations of these properties, that at some point that the general consensus is it doesn't matter what format it comes out in, there's going to be enough people to be able to continue supporting these shows? Because we haven't seen it with like the Bleaches, with the Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhoods. We haven't seen it with Death Note, even though they still have the rights to a sequel for Death Note. But
I think so. But I think the winner has to be depending on who you are. And in essence, really, there is only one set of losers. The winner are the people who finance it because they think it will print money. They don't care actually about the IP or anything. They just care about profit.
There's also Oda, which now means that he's not only got a super successful manga and super successful anime, he's also got a super successful live adaptation.
Oh, and you're telling me that I get to oversee the thing just to be sure? Oh, yeah, sure. Hell, why not? If it's a dud, it's a dud. But if it's success, like, all the more credit to me, right?
Yeah, I'll take all the blame, if anything, because I gave them the green light.
You get the staff that worked on the live action production, so they get props. It also, technically successful or not, perpetuates the momentum of the Wit Studio one, or in terms of people knowing about it or people being excited about it. There will actually be people I know that will Google search One Piece anime and then find out about the news story of Wit Studio, right?
Yeah.
Then technically, people who watch the live action and then get converted, I would say, is technically a winner because they get to consume more of what they like and they get into the ecosystem that you and I and many others enjoy and love to thrive in. The only loser is really the people who are, in my opinion, the super diehard, stubborn people, which I would argue both you and I are to certain IPs.
Yeah.
Like Tokyo Ghoul, for example. We are so
never watched
the We're so anime. Headstrong on it, despite its popularity and despite a lot of people adoring it.
The music for Tokyo Ghoul is just like, mwah,
glassy. No, I'm the polar opposite.
You should listen to Glassy Sky then, from Route A, which is like the bane of my existence.
But would you say that it's good for Tokyo Ghoul? Even though
there are people who absolutely love the anime and have never read the manga.
But do you think that that's good for the Tokyo Ghoul brand recognition, right?
Yeah.
Same thing.
I mean, despite there's been no new Tokyo Ghoul,
even though you technically lost, you're a loser in that you are not consuming the live action, or in Tokyo Ghoul's case, you're not consuming the anime. Yeah. You're headstrong in your position. You also acknowledge that it's good for the growth of the IP.
Yeah,
and that is why live action adaptations exist despite a lot of duds, because there are so many winners, and the only loser is always gonna consume it anyways. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't think that, I mean, it'd be crazy to think that production studios are just going to be like, you know what? No more live action. We're done with it. No, I think there's too much visibility and too much marketability in a property that is so popular that you could make a dud but still make a decent impact on the series. Because you can. You know that thing where it's like, oh, the anime was so bad, I'm just going to read the manga instead. That can happen
too. No, same thing with live action, right? But you can't go the other way. Live action sucks, then the anime's good, or the manga's good, then I will go to that. Oh, the anime is crap, but the manga or the source is good? Oh, I'm going to get to that. But it's rare for you to go the other way around other than manga to anime.
And that's why they think that, like, you, when I listed off all the adaptations, mm-hmm. right, the super popular ones, I think that's the reason why they can do it, because they know at the end of the day, even if the adaptation sucks, they still have the core property.
And same thing with how manga is released or anime seasons are released. If they time it with the live action, oh, it just so happens that One Piece is having their 1,000th episode, or you just like Alice in Borderlands, well, guess what? I think it's Seven Seas Entertainment or whoever is releasing the manga. It just so happens the new volume is coming out right around the same time it premieres. Yep. Wow. Is it a fucking coincidence? But here is something, and I really like this topic, but I know we're kind of strapped for time, but I'm going to just drop this bomb on you. I think, and I don't know for sure, the simultaneous release of Zom 100, to me then, is a misfire. Maybe it's not, but to have the live action cannibalize, potentially at least, the anime, you could argue, well, they're never going to diverge.
I think much in the same way, we discussed this before, where it's like, there definitely will be certain camps that either watch the anime or watch the live action. But after hearing what you've said, I can kind of see it now, where if it was just the anime first, and in 6 months or even a year's time down the road, the live action comes out, then there is an option for people. Whereas now it's like, you already have both options, and you already have this coming out here, Kiss coming out there. The choice is not that hard.
Yeah.
Immediately, like, you can be like so desensitized from watching either that, like, you have no say in whether
it doesn't trickle down, because some live action watchers would in theory then either check out the anime or the manga. Of course, you can then say, well, we both diverge at the manga, then sure, but it's kind of harder pill to swallow, in my opinion, for someone to go from something that is animated or something that is moving versus something that is static.
Yeah.
That is on.
People like to be given choice, but when you give them that choice immediately, I think that's when, like, it becomes problematic, where you can mention it's like, I don't have to choose. I can just watch this or that.
Then, well, it's Netflix bulk release, right? Like, it's like, oh, you got a huge spike of interest. Then no one gives a shit like 2 days later because everyone consumed everything, right? I mean, yeah.
Without seeing the metrics, I don't know how much, you know, audience cannibalism there is.
And we won't know, actually, for sure.
But you do raise a fair point that because of the fact that it's the illusion of choice. When people have, like, the anime come out and then down the road something else comes out, where it's like, that choice was already made for you from the beginning because this thing already existed. We know you don't care about this, so just keep reading that.
I mean, how many times have, due to it being released all in one go, like a bulk Netflix release, that we actually don't consume it that fast if it was week to week because we have that anticipation. But instead of having the safety blanket of, well, it's all out, I can kind of consume it whenever I want. And then therefore you, it's inconsistent as whether you consume it like regularly or at all, even for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I think the other thing is, finally, going back off of like live action to anime, Shoujo deserves an extra set of, or Slice of Life deserve an extra set of mentions, because,
you know, now that we talked about this, I think when I go home later, because I've been watching, because I watched Skip and Loafer with my wife, right?
Mm-hmm. The anime, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I want to do now is watch the live action of From Me to You.
Right.
With her. But at the same time, I, on my own time, watch the anime and see if there's much of a difference.
Or read the manga and see all three. Because I would believe that when a couple, you know, actors who act as like lovey-dovey or a couple, it's when it's believable or it kind of gets you get going, it is very different than manga on a page.
Yeah.
I mean, you can still be moved. You can still be...
Yeah, the romanticism and like the relationship building is different, even if the core essence is the same.
Yeah.
Right?
And in anime, it's kind of like an in-between thing where it's like it's kind of like real in a sense that it's voiced by live-action people.
But it's still animated.
But still animated. So there is that suspension of disbelief that you and I are used to.
Yeah.
And then like if Fruits Basket the Final... We bawled our eyes out.
God damn, yeah.
Like so many times. But I think for a lot of people, they will see that and being like, just like how in Ju-on the Curse, they were like, oh, I'm not scared at all.
Nope.
Like, this is kind of dumb.
Well, as a kid, when I was watching the Ju-on and watching The Ring, terrifying. But yeah. I was like 8 when I watched that.
Sure. But what if I were to say you should play Silent Hill 2 or Siren?
Siren.
When you're engrossed, when it's believable, even though it's like pixels on a screen, right?
That's also why like Resident Evil the game is a vastly different experience from watching Resident Evil the movie.
But when you it also doesn't help that
yeah. the fucking director for the Resident Evil movies, Uwe Boll, is fucking insane.
Isn't it Wes Anderson?
Wes Anderson, yes. Oh no, Uwe Boll did different game adaptations.
Uwe Boll did Postal.
He did Postal. He also did a different game adaptation. I forgot which one it was.
I thought it was Postal is a PC Postal. Game.
Oh, he did Alone in the Dark as well. He did Blood Rain. He did Alone in the Dark. He did do Postal. His movies are terrible.
Yeah, he tried to box a game journalist because he didn't like their takes or something.
Yeah.
But I know we're going off tangent and we're running short on time, but...
Oh, he did Far Cry as well, yeah.
Oh, God, that's a Far Cry. Holy shit.
And it was terrible.
I guess that's a far cry from a good job.
Budget of $30 million. Box office, $743,000.
Yes.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, dollars or not, fandom or not, all these, I guess, different types of currency, if you will, mm-hmm. or resources become muddled up because it's not one-to-one, it's not equivalent. And it's hard to really do it other than probability and taking a chance. So live action, in my opinion, is never really for anime or manga watchers. They are welcome to come at any point. They're welcome to the house and party, but they're not necessarily invited. They can come. They're not forbidden to. They can come and party. They can leave whenever they want. But we're looking for like the new converters, the newcomers, to get them hooked onto the house that is the IP, that is, you know, One Piece, Naruto, Attack on Titan, or whatever. Because if one of them leaves satisfied, it's kind of like a win.
It's a win, yeah.
And if the party sucks and everyone shits on it and people think, oh, that's bad, right? Nope, bad press is sometimes good press because it keeps you in the conversation.
We've seen that happen. Yeah.
It's when no one talks to you. When batch release after day 4 or after a week. Cyberpunk Edgerunners is one of the best animes of all time as said by Crunchyroll Anime Awards, so you know it's legit.
It's better to be hated than to be unknown.
Exactly.
Damn. I did not envision this discussion to go this deep. I was just wondering if we were just gonna end up shitting on live action or trying to figure out if there was a way to like fix live action, but it turns out there really is no need to fix live action. I think it serves a purpose that's very unique compared to what anime and manga do, because the original intention is not to convert people to watching live action or trying to bring in new viewers. It's more just you have an IP. Why not do? I mean, there's a reason why like IPs themselves, as manga or anime, also then release video games or music videos or like other forms of media.
Yeah, there's like a big win, a medium win, a small win, a win, and then a very small lose situation.
But like you said, it's all for the long game.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, if it gets one other person to start talking about it and checking out the anime and then talking about the manga and then telling me I need to watch over 1,000 episodes and everything, then okay, sure, fine, I'll hear it.
It's the power of visibility and marketing. That's essentially it.
There's so many complex maneuvers that when you think about it, it's not necessarily the most interesting, but it actually dictates where our interests lie.
And I think that, you know, the fact that we had a live action adaptation of One Piece despite One Piece Red coming out the year before, I think people know. Like, it doesn't matter what...
Another subject that I think is worth discussing. Red is an original with a new character. As a hardcore One Piece fan, you think that's sacrilegious before even consuming anything, right? You think, like, the fuck are you doing?
Well, there's, like, two hardcore fans. One which is like, this is the Holy Grail, do not fuck with it. Or, oh my god, it's even more One Piece, I can't wait.
True, right? But
I mean...
But would you check it out of hate? You probably would, either way. You'd check it out.
Yeah, you probably would.
Yeah, and it turned out to be a win.
Or the fact you're even talking about it in the first place is enough.
Yeah, and if you weren't convinced after watching Red, I'll just go back to the thing that I love. And then if it was good, you'd be like, oh, wow, that was pretty dope.
And then, or it's like you hate it enough that you just decide, you know what, I'm only going to read the manga. They further secured your fandom.
Yeah. It's the whole thing of choice and control. And you think that we all think that we have
no control.
We like to. And in many ways we do. But there are so many different factors and facets of life that intertwine that has a factor. And sometimes the chaos factor is also a factor, right? So it is, but it's not that interesting until it is under like the premise of a live action anime adaptation or questioning whether or not an anime adaptation is worth it compared to the source.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, if you're listening to this, I'm sure that you are either fans of anime or manga. If you have watched the live-action adaptations of One Piece, or maybe even Avatar The Last Airbender, it would be pretty cool to hear your thoughts and, you know, just let us know what you think about those adaptations.
I mean, we haven't even fucking talking about, like, we should really, like, cut, like, not talk or like, have, like, a part two. But, like, technology has advanced such that it makes it more palatable and believable.
Yeah.
Like, imagine...
It's not quite there yet with the One Piece, but... It was, no, as in like One Piece live adaptation, not the One Piece by Wit Studio.
Right. Like Dune 2 is airing right now in theaters.
Yeah.
There was a David Lynch, David Bowie film of Dune, like way back then, but it flopped.
Yep, I remember that.
And I think part of it is because it wasn't believable because the integration of the technology and CGI was so hard to do.
Well, I mean, it's the same if you were to watch like Star Wars from the 70s compared to now, right? Like you can tell it's like... technologies have definitely helped.
Like, what if the Resident Evil 2 remake that was released a couple of years ago versus Resident Evil 2, the OG?
Yeah.
It's technically the same game with the same characters and maybe even sometimes the same puzzles and stuff, but it is so
much... The remake certainly saved Resident Evil 2 because when it came out, Resident Evil 1 was like still like the king.
Right? I always know it as Biohazard back then, right?
Yeah. And then Resident Evil 2 was like, okay, it's still good, but not quite the same. Resident Evil 2 remake was like, oh.
And then at the same time, you got Villagers, right? Which I think is Resident Evil 7.
Village, yeah.
Which is like so different than the typical like tank 3, like third person action. But it was all timed within a certain time.
Oh, I think Village was 8.
Okay, but like
the one before,
the first person.
Yeah, Resident
Evil
7 was like Resident Evil 7 and 8. First-person view.
So it was like all that kept the conversation of Resident Evil going, plus the movies kept it going.
Oh, maybe it was risky to change it to first-person because people were just wondering, is this going to be a first-person shooter?
Wait, was there like, oh, right.
Because that's what happened with like Resident Evil 5 and 6. It just became an over-the-shoulder third-person shooter. That's all it was. And
do you remember Doom was a movie?
Yes.
With starring The Rock Johnson.
Yep.
And it did have a first-person sequence.
I remember. I didn't watch it, but I've seen it.
I kind of digged it, but it looked really weird, I have to be honest. Yep. And if it didn't convince me, but it might convince someone else, then all the better for it.
Yeah.
It's so hard, this topic.
So the point of this conversation was not to sort of deride live action adaptations, nor was it to try and convince people to go and watch live action adaptation. It's more just sort of understanding its place within the zeitgeist of anime and manga.
Right. Right? I think your question of, well, who's it for, wasn't from necessarily a place of malice.
No, it was not. It was more just like actually trying to figure out like the purpose of a live action when we have so many duds.
Well, did you think you figured it out, or at least more so?
I'm getting closer to it. I mean, is it enough for me to now go and watch all of One Piece, the live action? Probably not. But at the very least, now it's like I acknowledge its existence and I acknowledge its impact on the fandom.
And I hope you guys will acknowledge that this is the end of our BP26. We're just going to cut it real short with the show notes. The only thing that we want to do is give credits for our music. I think all the show notes stuff, you probably heard it in other episodes.
Yeah, we can probably do a little less on the BPs, but all the other episodes, we'll keep it intact.
But we will give music credits.
Absolutely.
Music credits for this episode. Our intro music is After Hours Dinner by Almost Here. And our outro music is 2011 by Rocket Jr. You can always support the music artists that we feature by listening to them on Spotify, Apple Music, or your music listening platform of choice. And Epidemic Sound provides all of our royalty-free music. If you're interested, you can always sign up using the referral link in our show description. Terms and conditions apply. All right.
I was looking at the timer, and I was thinking like 35, 40 minutes. At that point, we're like, oh, we're pretty good. I think we discussed a lot of things. And all of a sudden, we started talking about other shit. I'm like, fuck, okay, we're not.
I remember when you were like, oh, we have like 4 minutes or like eight minutes left, and then we were like...
That was like almost half an hour ago.
Yeah, I feel so bad, but it just like more thoughts just keep coming in, and I was just like, oh, wow, there's actually more to this than I thought. I was like thinking on the fly.
I mean, I thought it was just simple, is it good, is it bad, who's it for, and that was it. I thought like maybe this, because this being more like a loose conversational topic, I thought... I mean,
it could have been that, and I don't fault you, because I was actually
going... But then we started diving deeper into it. It's like, wow, this actually is like a very deep rabbit hole, and I think that like I'm not giving live action enough credit, right? Like for me, it's like I'm not of the stance of it saying it's sacrilegious and should not exist. It's more just there's a time and place for it, and it might not be my time, but it's definitely someone else's time. And I should not take away their time from enjoying this particular medium.
But please do not watch the Western Death Note. It was not really good at all.